This is Stephen Yah on YahWeh.name. YahWeh.name. And we're glad to have you today, encouraging the body of Messiah to move up to higher heights and into deeper depths in YahWeh, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, being under YahWeh's kingdom authority. But that's our assignment today, is keep the Ten Commandments and also the commandments, statutes, and judgments as are written in the Torah and throughout Scripture, even though it doesn't specifically, in the New Testament, it doesn't specifically state commandments, statutes, and judgments. That is the phrase that goes from cover to cover in the Scripture, from yesterday, today, and forever. Messiah is the same, and He is our bridegroom. He is the one who is spoken of in the Scriptures, in the book of Isaiah and Hosea and throughout Scripture. And of course, we've studied that name. We're using the without the Shua in Scripture. You will find Yeshua and Joshua, but you will not find without it, without the Shua, getting ready to get closer and closer to Messiah. This is our goal, to watch our behavior before Him, to show good works, those good deeds, keeping those Ten Commandments. And that is proof of our salvation. It doesn't save us in any way. Works don't save us, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. We want to watch our lifestyle and make sure that it is constantly growing, changing in Messiah to that way of life, and have the proper walk with YahWeh. And get rid of the old habits, the old practices, move into our new lifestyle, behavior, the way of life, and not necessarily on the upbeat. We don't have to be smiling from ear to ear all the time. I never saw that word smile yet in the Scripture. It's probably in there somewhere, but in some churches, if you don't do it, they say you're not saved. You have to smile to show you're saved, that He's going to put that shine in and that smile in our countenance anyway. We don't have to work at it necessarily. Some people do have a bad day, you know. Some things are pretty hard to take. We have to roll with the punches, as they say, and kind of stiffen up sometimes. But we will be going to John 7:24 here momentarily when I finish these opening statements here. As we lift up the Most High, as we're growing in Messiah, as we lift up the Most High Heavenly Father, YahWeh, and as we are a blessing to others, let us move on in Him. But, don't expect others to catch up with us right away, or maybe they're way ahead of us. That's usually the case with me. But we have grown from using the common names for the Messiah to using the Mighty One, and then we used Yahweh, which is a Jewish Catholic version of that. There's no W in Hebrew, and we moved on to the correct Hebrew with a V, YHWH, YahWeh, to be most accurate, and more accurate names for the Son, Messiah, as well. Looking at the past, we didn't learn all these things in just one splash of time, just as when the earth was created. That would have been the opposite, wouldn't it? When man was first created, all the systems were up and going. We had to have all the organs present at the time. Now, getting off onto that creationism for just a second here, but it had to be an instantaneous. The food supply had to be up and ready to eat, all those vegetables, or clean animals, or both, depending upon what time that they were in history there. So, moving back though to where we are in our faith, we didn't just learn all these things all at once in one splash of time. We learned the names little by little as we studied, and we changed from the pagan holidays of New Year's and Roman New Year and things like that and the winter solstice, Christmas, Christ's Mass, a Catholic concoction. We change from that to Yahweh's feast days, the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Passover, Feast of Shavuot, that is Pentecost, and of course the Sabbaths. So altogether there's a lot on the list there, on the assignment list there, to take care of throughout the year, and quite a number of things we need to do for Messiah. Not just try to go door to door, bash down people's doors and cram religion down their throats. No, they've had enough of that from the JW people, who might have had good intentions, but it wasn't that effective. They didn't have all the true story, the gospel, the good news. And then we move from the unclean of eating pork and shellfish to the healthy kosher foods. And then hopefully we've left the old corrupt culture of rock and then moved on. Not just to soft rock, but moved on to separated music, to cultured music. Not necessarily into some stiff, boring kind of music. And we're going to have a few examples later on of some great songs from 100 and some years ago. And you'll be amazed that these songs were used by feast keepers. Now I want to tell you about it, but I don't want to get that, in our priority here. We want to talk now about judging in John 7:24. Let no man judge you in meat or drink. Now this is Colossians 2:16, but in John 7:24. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Yes, so you're not only allowed, but you're commanded, if you're a leader particularly, to use proper discernment. And judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. But each and every one of us can certainly ascertain and judge ourselves. And if a brother seems to be disorderly, or a sister, and an extreme case would be if they walked in half naked, then we would have to say something. If the pastor didn't say anything, sometimes they won't, then it's up to us to carefully and diplomatically try to, if we're mature enough, hopefully they'll be mature enough to take a correction, to go up and address this issue in some way. We don't want to blow a person away and say, hey, look, we don't dress like that, get out. No, we don't say this. We want to be very gingerly about it, if I could use that term, gingerly or gently, to go up and make the correction. Maybe a woman would go up and say a few kind words and tell her about the dress standard, and not to expose herself, because it's actually in the scripture tells us not to do that. And we're changing from our old uninformed or errant beliefs of the past. Well, we might assent to proper changes in our life and to real scriptural truth. We are actually switching over from those pagan holidays and common names, pagan names, from Sunday, Easter, Roman New Year, and so on, and from the Iesus and all the other takeoffs from that, the Jesus. We're switching over to the proper spiritual names that are from the scripture and words of truth. By the way, there's only about 50 corrupted main words that we need to change. I was doing a study on that word good and got. Some of the minor words that we could polish up on as well. Here it is. Good is Hebrew 2896 in the Strong's Concordance, or if you want to go to the Hebrew lexicon, even better. And the word is tob, T-O-B-E. No, it's not pronounced to be. No, it's T-O-B-E, or tob. And the proper word for that, if you'd like to, we can't correct everything in our language, but I say there's only 50 words, but you could, instead of this word G-O-O-D, we might use glad, joyful, pleasant, beautiful, or splendid, or possibly excellent, if it applies. So instead of good, we might use glad, because they both start with a G. But anyway, it's not good or got from German got, which originally came from to means a troop. And it's a corrupted word anyway, so I threw it out, but it's one of the minor things. Somebody said, well, how about the word the? Yeah, well, okay, you know, but work on the main things. Let's get our priorities straight. Start with Yahweh's name. Let's get his name right first. And look in the scriptures. If you go to the online eSword program and then look up a scripture verse, and at the top you'll notice it says KJV, King James Version. But if you hit the KJV plus up there, there's a plus at the top, then that will give you the concordance. Then if you hover your mouse, the little mouse that you use, hover over the number of that word. What was this word again? 28, now I've forgotten. 2897 or something. Then it gives you, in a great big balloon, it gives you the definitions. You don't even have to go click any and look it up anywhere else. You don't have to punch anybody out over this. Let's not get into a fight over this. No, this is a thing to be, you know, to grow into and to be gentle about. And because I really did want to bring out that there is false judging going on. And while some might be lost, we can't make a final judgment on anybody that they are going to Tartarus, to hell, or anything. We don't know this. So let's be real careful about, especially leaders, let's be more careful and be more mature and open, not open-minded necessarily, but balanced about how we view and how we treat others. If we treat somebody with contempt, we might get, they might get their horns, like, you know, like a bull, and try to rent us. And then, you know, there won't be any peace at all. So let's try to be in Yahweh's spirit, in the spirit of the Ruach HaKadosh, and the spirit of Yahweh. And not walk in the flesh, but walk in the spirit. Have a little lilt in your spirit. A lilt in your spirit, I say. And don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the anger, the improper anger, that is, and the madness that goes along with that. And let's see, something else I was going to say about it. Oh, shalom. We need to have that. The Hebrew word is shalom. Yes, let's not just say it, a common greeting. I kind of get tired of people trying to, you know, throw around a few words to show that we know some Hebrew. I've been to Hebrew class or something. The scriptural names, we ought to be more interested in those scriptural names. I thank you for the hundreds of people who are around the world have been really studying that. We found out that they're really interested on the name of Yahweh and in the Son, spoken of in the book of Isaiah and all the prophets, as Yahusha. Messiah, in Hebrews 13, Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1 says, for with the Father there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And in Malachi, that's the last book in the Protestant Old Testament, Malachi 3:6, for I am Yahweh, I change not. That's Malachi 3:6. And it was surprising even to me that there's hundreds of believers in my local area in a small town of 2,000 people. It turns out that there are many Sabbath keepers, and a lot more than I had thought. Even though they might attend currently a Sunday church, because the Sabbath church over there, the recognized one, hasn't admitted their errors yet, and that they think that their leader back in the 1800s, was infallible. Kind of reminds me of someone else, of a leader in Rome who they claim is infallible, at least in making policies. Well, we hope that there is some discipline there for sure, but nobody is completely without error. And the only, people say, the only error I ever made was that they said that they were, that they'd made a mistake, and then it turns out they didn't. Well, that's just a pun or a joke. Let's see. Now I got to take a break here, but we're going to next scripture verse after Malachi. Now we're going to get into a little heavier, and we're going to switch gears here in a moment. But just to let you know that there are other messianics and Sabbatarians around, even though they may not speak exactly like you do, or keep the same days, the same calendar. There's quite a number of calendars, and it takes quite a while to come into that knowledge about Yahweh's calendar. Just so we're not going by the old pagan feast days or something. Let's go to Yahweh's spiritual calendar and try to move on and move up around that. And it seems like a secret thing sometimes, and it is a little bit more involved, but all we do is just go out once a month and sight the moon, or go to, if we can't see the moon where we're located here, then we just go to the website, which is whenisthenewmoon.com. And for the most part, they hit it right on there. They don't go by the agricultural calendar, but by that one specified in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. So to finish up that thought about false judging that we need to be aware of, of course, we don't want to allow any assimilation and compromising going on amongst the brethren to speak of. We do have some basics, of course, that we have to adhere to some basics. But let's all be cautious about falsely judging others and friends as being lost, or others as being lost. We also have been in their position, and we've also grown, possibly where they are now. We've grown possibly past that point. But unless you have arrived, quote-unquote, and you are, what was that word again, infallibility, if you're infallible, then, of course, I guess it's time to call it quits and go to be with Yahweh in the grave, wait for him till he comes, if you know it all. Yes, we know somebody like that. So let us welcome others, other than, not out and out compromise, but let's welcome, let's give them the right hand of fellowship to those who are striving and growing, obviously, those who are growing in Messiah. If they're there, if they show up, if they volunteer to drive across town or a couple of hundred miles to come, assume, at least at the beginning, that they're there because they love him. And that they love you too. Fellowship with other believers it is very necessary. We need their support. We need their prayers, but not necessarily those denominations who are locked into their habits and customs of the old ways. If they are not interested at all about leaving that behind, then I don't know if we have anything further to do with them. But I fail to believe that they're completely without hope. So what do we believe? We believed, first of all, I told you a different scripture verse, but we're going to Romans 3 and 6:23 for just a real quick, in a nutshell here, what we believe is that we were depraved man because of the Adamic nature that we have inherited from Adam and Hava, Adam and Eve. We are all sinners before Calvary. That is, we are sinners before we came into the faith with Messiah, before we believed. And that's found in Romans 3:22 and 3 and 6:23. For all have sinned and fallen, that is, all the sinners have fallen short of the esteem of Yahweh. And 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the rewards of heaven is eternal life. And so therefore, if we're a depraved man or woman, we need to be delivered. We need the Savior. And we find this in Ezekiel 3:19. Oh my, there's a few scriptures here. In 33 verse 9, that's 3:19, and 33:9. And in the book of Ezekiel, or Ezekiel, in Proverbs 28:26, oh, there's so much wonderful truth here. So much meat. In Daniel 12, verse 1, in Zechariah 2 and 3, in, did I say Proverbs 28, 26, I think, Joel 2, 32, and 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10. It wouldn't be right to just go on and not read any of them, so let's see. If the lights are on and I'm still home, I think I can find Proverbs 28, 26. And I'm using the King James Version here. I also have the Tree of Life, and I have the Amplified Version today. It's a very interesting as we make some quotes here, and I can't wait to get into it. I don't like to hold you up. And 28:26 regarding who we were. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. You know, how many times have I heard that? I know my heart is right. I've heard it from those in large denominations, in the mainstream, and even from others. He that trusted in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walks wisely, he shall be delivered. It's also found in Jeremiah 17. We're going there in a moment. So, wow. Mishlei 28:26. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. I don't care if that's before salvation or after. If you trust in your own heart, don't say that. Don't let him say that. My heart is right. Well, at the moment, it might be. Generally speaking, we need to improve. We need to improve our character and even our belief in Messiah and his trust in him, of course, and his blood, and the blood that Messiah shed for us. We need to know his name and his Messiah's character, his name and his character. We need to know his laws and his covenant, above all, his covenant. And when he gives us the invitation to come and meet, yes, on the Sabbath days, and also Passover is the premier, the most paramount thing is to get together on Passover. That would be my first rule there of behavior in Messiah. If they don't keep the Passover, then hopefully they will someday. But they haven't gone very far if they don't do Passover. If they call it communion once every Sunday morning, I fail to believe that that's keeping Passover, not according to Scripture in 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 5, that is, and then I think chapter 7, maybe. Believe in Messiah, in his blood, his laws, and his covenant. His covenant, he'll write his laws in our hearts. And then we'll have a relationship. People say, well, I don't want religion. What was the rest of it? I just want Jesus, or something like that. But it lacks any firm commitment. But in his covenant, found in Hebrews 8:10, behold, I will write my laws in your heart and in your mind. That doesn't sound like he'd done away with the law. Yeah, that taking Messiah's law, taking the Father's law, and then tossing it under the bus. We need to repent, confess, and change to Yahweh's way. Acts 2:38. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Messiah, and the proper name of Messiah, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh as well. After you've repented and confessed, and repenting isn't just a one-time deal, where we go out and we made a deal. Hey, I repented 25 years ago, and that was that. You know, no, it's not a done deal. We keep learning, growing, and repenting, getting ready. Not as some of the world's churches. They don't look like the bride is ready there, but maybe they will. And I don't care about their calendar, what they're on. But is the bride ready? Well, she better be getting herself ready and giving her, you know, the oil in her lamps, the Ruach HaKadosh, and getting trimming the spiritual wick, and having that infilling of the Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26 also talks about that, the infilling of the Spirit, but also that He's going to write His laws in our heart and mind. So, are you there yet?